Hello, this is the Angry GM, and this is just a quick note before we get started. Normally these audio recordings are remixed or remastered or re-somethinged by a generous supporter of mine named Rattercrash, who is also a musician and did the intro and outro themes that you've heard on my recordings, and also puts out music on his YouTube channel at Pandora Symphony Orchestra. It is excellent instrumental music that is great if you like to use music in your tabletop role-playing games, and you really should check it out. But anyway, unfortunately, I just did 3 recordings in the last 2 days, and I want to get them out as quickly as possible, but Rattercrash has had a personal emergency and is a bit indisposed at the moment. I don't want you to wait for this stuff, so I'm going to go ahead and just remaster it myself, which I am not good at, but it will at least be listenable to. So if the audio quality here sounds a bit different, that's because this is me fat fingering and flubbing my way through the process just to make something that isn't crap so you don't have to wait. You're welcome. Angry Games. Hello. This is the Angry GM, and we are here with a proofread aloud of the latest feature that I have finished writing, finally, True Meeting Hostery. Man, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this true whatever-whatever-y now, huh? Anyway, True Meeting Hostery, which I am going to proofread live for the studio audience that has gathered here at Angry Games Headquarters Studio, and I will, of course, have a supplemental Q&A podcast where I will allow them to ask questions about the article if they bother to ask any questions at all, because that's been something of an issue lately, but we'll confront that when we confront that. And meanwhile, I guess it's time to just get reading, and if you are listening live and a question occurs to you while you are listening and you want to ask it so that I can answer it later, go ahead and type it in the live proofread aloud Q&A thread. Otherwise, let's get underway with True Meeting Hostery. This feature is part of my ongoing True Campaign Managery course, and it's best to take the course in the proper order. So if you ain't been following it, or you don't know what the hell True Campaign Managery even is, maybe head over to the True Campaign Managery course index and start at the start. If you are a True Campaign Managery student, you'll probably notice this lesson is a bit different from the others. It's definitely got a more rapid-fire 15... This is a lie. This whole paragraph is a lie. Also, I gotta change that. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna have to go with it. Except that I realize there's... This is funny. I'll tell this story at the end of how the... somebody asked me in the Q&A portion why I had to just change this paragraph completely and delete the number of tips and change it to umpteen. If you are a True Campaign Managery student, you'll probably notice this lesson's a bit different from the others. It's definitely got a more rapid-fire, umpteen-many tips and tricks to make you a master meeting host kind of style to it. All I can say is that that's just the best way to present this shit. That said, I have too much self-respect to use that clickbaity bullshit as the actual title of this feature. True Meeting Hostery. Today, I'm going to teach you something every game master should know, but which no game mastering guide has ever taught anyone. And that's because this ain't a gaming thing. It's just a thing. Or really, it's kind of a professional thing. It's something you get taught, or should get taught, when you earn a business-type degree. And I'm willing to bet that more than a few true campaign managers have picked this shit up from professional communication courses. But whether that's true or not, what matters is that somehow, every true campaign manager has somehow, But whether that's true or not, what matters is that every true campaign manager has somehow picked this shit up. Because it's one of those essential things that separates the true campaign manager gold from the mere campaign supervisor slag. Today, I'm going to teach you how to host a meeting. Every game's a meeting first. It ain't an accident that I'm shoving this lesson right between that long-ass crap about Session Zero and the upcoming crap about character creation sessions. And I said upcoming, weird. Upcoming. And the upcoming crap about character creation sessions. But that doesn't mean today's lesson applies only to non-gameplay sessions. Every game session you run is, effectively, a meeting. They're gatherings of people who work together toward a specific goal with the guidance of a manager or curator. The point is, this shit's not just to help you with your meet and greets and your vision planning collabs and your character crafting nights. This shit will help you run every game session more effectively. And true campaign managers follow these best practices every game session. Every damned one. That's also a lie, because as I wrote this thing, I realized that even though I know all of these things are best practices and I should be following every last one of them, gradually as I've been running games over the last couple of years, actually over the last 2 years, I have stopped doing pretty much all of this shit, and now I run my meetings like shit, and it shows, honestly, because the pacing of my sessions is awful now. So I really got to get back on the ball here, but that's an aside. The point is this shit's not just to help you with your meet and greets and your vision planning collabs and your character crafting nights. This shit will help you run every game session more effectively. And true campaign managers follow these best practices every game session. Every damned one. And I expect you to do the same. Get me? Setting up your meeting for success. Setting your meeting up for success. I wrote it right. I read it differently than I wrote it, which is something I have, like, sometimes I have to slow myself down in the proofread alouds because I realize I'm, like, only reading the main points. Like, sometimes when you read out loud, you're not actually reading every word. And when you're reading, like, to read, you're definitely not reading every word. You're reading in chunks or sentences or depending on how your reading style. So I have this tendency to, you know, put my eyes over the entire sentence and then just read the idea of the sentence. And sometimes I don't read all of the words, which is a problem because the whole point of this shit is to proofread, which means I have to stop at every word. And that's why sometimes you'll hear me suddenly slow down where I'm delivering things very rapid fire. And it's like, whoops, I realized I'm not reading every word anymore. Anyway, I digress. Setting your meeting up for success. Whether you're getting ready to host Session Zero over dinner or just running the umpteenth session of your interminable campaign success, whoops, there's a comma missing. And that's where you can tell I am reading every word because the comma, like I just kept going without the comma. You know, it's like, whoops, I didn't hit a comma, so commas are like little speed bumps for your reading. Whether you're getting ready to host Session Zero over dinner or just running the umpteenth session of your interminable campaign, success starts before your meeting, and so does failure. So make sure you start off right. Write it down. There's a lot of headings in this one because I basically broke things down. It's basically a series of, as will be revealed at the end, 18 tips and tricks divided into like three or four big chunks. So the first chunk is the setting your meeting up for success. And now we go into the tips. And the first tip is write it down. Every meeting needs a plan. And I ain't talking about game prep here. If you want to shit out your entire campaign as one long exercise in off-the-cuff improv, that's fine. That's your choice. I'd rather run an actual good game, but that's just me. What I'm talking about here is the actual game sessions, the meetings in which you and your players sit down to play your crap game. Those get planned, and they get wrote down. When I say something like, know the goal, or set an agenda, which I'm about to, I ain't saying, and just tuck that shit away in your cute little brain. I mean, write down or type out your goal and agenda. And I mean, bring it to the session. You don't have to write much. Outlines are fine. Bullet points are fine. Even vague notes like, and then I drop my pants and crap out a game for 3 hours are fine. It's the act of writing and following the plan that's important. Know your goal. Never, ever gather your players without an express, explicit, deliberate goal. Once you've written one you've written or typed right at the top of your agenda. If you're hosting Session Zero, note why you're wasting your time with Session Zero. Write it down. If there are three reasons, three goals, write them all down. If you're hosting Session CG, note precisely what you want to accomplish. Is it to go home with 5 completely filled out character sheets, or is it to just to do the mechanical basics so the players can fill out their sheets and buy equipment on their own time? Whatever you're planning to accomplish at the meeting, write that down. And if you're writing, And if you're running a game, write that down. Seriously. You need not write any more than gameplay session umpteen. That counts as a goal. It's fine. Does it seem silly to write that down? I don't care. If you could tell a dumb idea from a good one, you wouldn't be taking this course, would you? And you sure as hell wouldn't dress like you do. Do remember, though, that there's a difference between writing a goal and spelling out every step in a process. When it comes to partial character generation, for example, a concise statement like, get the players through the major mechanical steps of character creation so they can finish up and fill out their sheets on their own damn time, is fine. And now, a sidebar. Fun has nothing to do with gaming. Remember, a game session isn't about having fun. It's about playing a game. Fun is one of several payoffs. Fun is a reason to play games. But fun's not a goal. The goal, to which everyone has tacitly agreed, is to play a game of Dungeons and Denizens or whatever. And your players have empowered you to overcome any obstacles and make that happen. Even when they're the obstacles. Because people suck at focusing on goals. Your job is to keep everyone on task. You're not wrecking anyone's fun by saying, we're off track, let's get back to the game, dummies. But rather, you're enabling the fun everyone's agreed to have. And if your friends would rather dick around than have a shit session than play the game, you can agree to that instead. You know what? Any of you can say, this D&D thing is a distraction from shooting the bull and drinking beer and eating pizza. Can't we just have a beer and pizza night? Now back to the article and a heading that goes, have an agenda. Got your goal? Good. Now it's time to figure out how to make it happen, Captain. And that means setting an agenda. An agenda is a basic meeting plan. It's sort of a timeline, it's sort of a script, it's sort of a list of bullet points, or it's whatever else you need it to be. It's basically a map that'll help you lead the player from asses in chairs through the goal and back out of your house again. Or from connecting to Zoom meeting through the goal and to the host has ended the meeting. Depending on what you're doing, the agenda's going to vary a lot. If you're planning character creation, well, that's a step-by-step process you can just write down. But if it's a meet-and-greet session zero, it's not so rote. And every game session's agenda has a big blob of run game here in the middle of it. But remember, you're starting from the players plonking themselves down at your table or virtual space, and you're ending with, we're done, go home. So your agenda's got to cover how you get from welcome everyone to, so that's the situation, what does your character do? And how to go from, okay, let's stop here to get out. Knowing that and identifying a good goal can also help you figure out how to take an active hand in some of the vaguer activities, like how to get people talking about their race and class choices, because that's always a squirmy, awkward nightmare. And it'll help you structure a good meet and greet. Maybe you'll start with introductions around the table and then ask some follow-up questions of each player, then a few icebreaker questions to build some momentum for a conversation. Good game sessions start with things like recaps and reintroductions and some scene setting. And depending on how you do things, they might end with a recap of the night's action as a framing device for experience point awards or some shit like that. over time, you'll probably develop a standard session script. That's good, but you still have to write it down every time. Set a firm start time.
Set a start time for your game, huh?
No shit, Angry. What a stellar tip. Yeah, shut up. I know you all tell your players when to show up, but that ain't what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is setting the time your game actually starts. The time on the clock when you say, shut your yaps, I'm starting. That's not the time your monkeys should be drifting through the door. Their asses should already be in their chairs or connected to Zoom or whatever. And you need to make it utterly, transparently, crystal clear that if a participant ain't actually ready to participate at that time, they's late. And depending on your clubhouse rules, that might have repercussions. Which is also why you set a firm arrival time. Make it clear as friggin' crystal to your attendees that you expect them to get their asses through the door or into the Zoom room 10 to 15 minutes before the firm start time. Which means you gotta be ready to meet and greet your attendees. So you gotta be home and the table's gotta be cleared and the chairs unfolded before that T-minus 15 minute mark. Or your hangout has to be open so folks can connect. It's okay if you've got some papers to shuffle or a map to draw on your big ass mat, but anything that keeps you from saying hello and having polite chit chat should already be done. You go into host mode at arrival time. If you've got a player who consistently shows up outside that 10 to 15 minute arrival window, if they frequently show up too late or too early, you've got a problem. This means it's time to practice your conflict resolution chops. And now a sidebar. The standard sound check. If you're running games online, you've got my deepest sympathies. But that ain't an excuse to go soft on the 10 to 15 minute arrival window. If anything, you want to be an even harder ass about it than you otherwise might. Because someone's always got a tech issue. There's always some dumbass whose microphone isn't working or whose gain is off or who needs an update. And you can't let that shit delay your meeting. I actually have a standard sound check rule for my online games. When someone connects to the meeting or when we're coming back from a break, they must greet the room. Even if there's some pregame chatter going on, they're to speak over that shit and say something like, hello everyone. And then I, it's always me, say something like, hello Adam, I can hear you. And then they say, I can hear you too. That simple ritual helps identify tech issues immediately and assures that no one's sitting quietly waiting for a lull in the pregame chatter to speak up. And now back to the article. Call your meeting to order. No matter what your meeting's for, the first thing on your agenda, below the goal anyway, is the call to order. I ain't saying you need to bang a gavel on the table and say, hear ye, in my authority as master of games, I hereby declare this game session to be started. May the odds be never in your favor. But you need to do something to make it clear to all and sundry, and ye self, that chatter time is over and focused gaming fun time has commenced. This is for you as much as for your players. Lots of game masters struggle to get everyone's attention and start talking. Having a standard call to order and writing it down really helps that transition, even if it's as simple as, okay everyone, let's start. Me? I'm partial to shut your holes, losers, I'm running a game here. And establish your meeting's goal. The other first thing on your agenda, I guess it's the second thing, is to make sure everyone knows why you've gathered them. Even if everyone already knows the goal, you still gotta say it, explicitly, every time. If the goal's to get to know each other, then discuss the schedule, then talk about the rules of your table, say so. If the goal is to play the 14th session of your 60-session campaign, well, you don't have to spell out every friggin' detail. You can say, we're playing session 14 of our campaign, or just, let's start our game session. That's technically establishing the goal. You just want to remind everyone, and yourself, that there's a purpose to the get-together. It's a psychological thing. My standard call to order, shut your cake holes, I'm running the game now, both calls my game to order and establishes my meeting goal. That's why I like it. And now sidebar time, where I remind you that explicit ain't the same as formal. I don't know why some of you dumbasses don't get this, but being explicit doesn't mean you have to speak like some loser junior executive who's never worked a day in his life, but his mommy bought him a suit and an expensive MBA, so he's in charge. An explicit statement is just a clear, concise statement that leaves nothing unsaid or assumed. Shut it, losers, I'm running the game now is a very clear, concise, explicit statement. You don't have to be rote or mechanical or formal to be explicit. You can be explicit naturally. And now back to the article where we start the second major chunk of tips, which I have entitled Keeping the Meeting Engine Purring. And this is a series of tips about how to keep your game going. And because you can't see the different heading levels and formatting, I'm sharing this with you listening to the proofread aloud so that you get the structure. As a terrifying witch who once collapsed the English banking system to unjustly punish a man for being a perfectly adequate father once said, well begun is half done. If you prep and start your meeting as I've outlined above, you're halfway to running a decent meeting. You'll have a nice, smooth start, and you'll easily get to the for 3 hours run game portion of the agenda handily. But nowhere in the world is 50% considered a passing grade, so half done is still basically shit. Once you get your meeting rolling, you've got to keep it going. Now, you're going to notice some parallels between these next tips and a bunch of shit I taught you about being a true game master, especially the pacing stuff. You want to guess why that is? Because it ain't a coincidence. The next tip is, or the first tip in this section is, pay attention. The reason you ain't a true campaign manager is that you're not nearly as attentive as you think you are. I've never sat at your table, but I know you suck at paying attention, because all humans do, and so do all game masters especially. When someone's speaking, you're listening. That's how it be. You ain't shuffling papers or tinkering with miniatures or taking notes. Unless you're an expert-level stenographer who can listen and take notes at the same time, and you ain't, note-taking's for after listening. Listen, then write. The vast majority of people stop listening to the shit others are saying partway through and start planning their next response. If you really pay attention, you'll catch yourself doing the same. And you can't do that and run a meeting. And even if no one's talking to you, even if the players are talking amongst themselves, you're still listening. Next tip. Pay attention to attention. Think you got that attention thing down? Well, let me add another wrinkle. To run a good meeting or any game or anything, you've got to pay attention to everyone all the time. If someone's talking, you listen to them, and you make eye contact, mostly. Because you also need to periodically check in with every other participant, with your eyes. Every few minutes when you're talking or when anyone else is talking, you need to bounce your eye contact around a bit. Make eye contact with a couple of the other participants, or at least look at their eyes. See where their eyeballs are pointed. Most eyeballs will be pointed at you or at whoever's speaking. Occasionally, they won't be. Occasionally, they'll snap to you when they realize your eyeballs are pointed at them. Note, however, that I'm not telling you to do anything other than just bounce your eye contact around every few minutes. I ain't asking you to think, note, catalog, or consciously consider anything. Just bounce your eyes around. You're doing this to calibrate your personal, intuitive, unconscious, internal attentiveness radar. You're getting yourself used to paying attention to people's attention. I could write a whole fucking thing about this, but I don't want to. I'm just going to promise that if you do this, two things are going to happen over time without you having to think about them. First, your players will feel like you're more attentive and they will reciprocate. This ain't a conscious thing. It's just how humans are wired up socially. Attentiveness begets engagement. Second, your internal attentiveness radar will start to ping you with gut feelings that you're losing someone, or that you're losing everyone. And if you get that feeling, you can act to bring them back. Again, that ain't a conscious thing. And this works even if you've got some players who are naturally eye contact averse. That's why I called it calibration. You're training your awareness to know what your players look like when they're paying attention and when they're not. If you've got a player who always looks down at the table because she's shy and doesn't do the eye contact thing, that's fine. But when her eyes start to drift to her sheet or her dice or whatever, that's a deviation from the norm. She's drifting. Your brain is wired to notice this shit. It really, truly is. You just have to let it get a baseline with disciplined eye contact. If you're running a game online with video chat, that means setting yourself up so you can see everyone's camera, not just the speaker. So do that. And it's also worth noting that people's eyelines are really weird. You never know where someone's camera is in relation to their screen. This is tricky because people who are used to speaking on camera tend to look into the camera, whereas people who ain't tend to look at who they're talking to on screen. I missed the word two in there. There's actually a neat trick you can do to see where people's attentive eyelines go when they're on camera. The next time you introduce a monster, hold a picture up to your camera. Here, I've got a picture of the Thokwa. While everyone's looking at the picture, glance at each participant and see where their eyes are going. That'll tell you where they see whoever's speaking on their setup. That ain't strictly necessary, though. It's more just to satisfy curiosity. Just get in the habit. Oh my god, I said that like I'm from Boston. That's just more just to satisfy curiosity. Just get in the habit of looking at everyone's eyes. If you're running online without a camera, well, it sucks to be you. That's the absolute worst. Managing a meeting by voice only is absolutely awful. I hate it. But if you at least make yourself an attentive listener, you will prime your brain to notice delayed responses and awkward pauses. And I wrote the word relayed instead of delayed. That's something, at least. Next tip. Address people by name. Okay. That attention thing was the big one. The rest of the shit's pretty small and simple by comparison. It's okay to rely on general questions to make sure it's okay to proceed. Everyone good on that? Great. Moving on. Conjunction, junction. What's your function? Bringing people back when you distract them with a parenthetical. That line wasn't in the original, so it was in the director's cut of the song. It's okay to rely on general questions to make sure it's okay to proceed. Everyone good on that? Great. Moving on. But you should make it a habit to speak directly to people whenever possible. By name. If you're doing the online thing, that's as vital a friggin' skill as ever there was. Even when you do use a general question, any questions, you should make it a habit of calling out one or two different people every time. Just pick a couple at random. Any questions, Beth? Chris, moving on. That's it. Easy tip, but it helps. Call people to action. When you actually need a response or an action, when you ain't just giving people a chance to speak up if they want to take it, you can't be a wishy-washy little pussy about it. Use your active voice and speak in imperatives. Don't say, we should start generating ability scores. We'll use four dice and we'll... No. Bad. It's time to generate ability scores. Adam, you start us off. Grab four six-siders. Roll them six times, drop the lowest die each time, and write the results in order. First strength, then dexterity, then so on down the line. Got it? Good. Start rolling and call out each result so we can laugh at your crappy character. The same's true when you need an answer from someone, or from anyone, or just some ideas. Active voice and imperative sentences. We're brainstorming now. Blurt your ideas out quick as you can and I'll write them down. I'll stop you if I need to catch up, and go. Check in with drifters and wallflowers. Remember how I told you to train your magical internal intuitive unconscious awareness Let me try that again. Remember how I told you to train your magical, internal, intuitive, unconscious attentiveness radar so you'd start getting gut-feeling pings when someone's attention starts to drift? And I swore it would happen if you forced yourself to play the eye contact game? And remember when I told you to get into the habit of addressing people by name even when you're asking general questions? Just tack a random name or two on the end of every general question? All that's so you can handle drifters, people whose attention is fading. When you feel like someone's attention is drifting, you must recapture their attention. And if you've already established this pattern of saying shit like, "Does that make sense to all y'all? Adam, you got it?" Then it ain't weird to say, "Is that clear? Chris, you good?" And that's what you do when you've got a drifter. You've just got to say their name. And now you've got a way to do it that isn't, "Hey, dumbass, pay attention." More generally, the point is to engage directly with people throughout the meeting. It's a sort of verbal social check-in. You do it actively when you see someone drifting, but you also do it whenever someone's just not participating actively. If you've got some shyer, quieter players, check in with them the same way. Some people just struggle to speak up. Giving them an opportunity is all it takes. Don't let people interrupt, except sometimes you. That thing about wallflowers above is important because your goal when hosting a meeting is to create an environment that fosters participation. And I don't mean that in a modern, safe spacey, horseshit kind of a way. I'm talking basic friggin' courtesy. When someone's speaking, don't let anyone interrupt them, and don't interrupt them yourself. Unless it's okay for you to interrupt, which it sometimes is. You'll figure that out. If someone does interrupt, politely but firmly interrupt them. Let me hear what Adam's saying, please, and then you can respond. Tabletop role-playing games do have a unique interruption issue, though. When dice get rolled and actions get resolved, that's very final. So often, players want to jump in before an action's finalized. Maybe so their character can react or respond or provide a bonus or just stop a fellow character from causing a disaster. So never, ever get angry or impatient about interruptions. Keep it firm but polite and make sure you always go back to the interrupter before you finalize everything. True campaign managers actually create a little space, a pause, before anything's firmly resolved so players don't feel like they have to interrupt. They know there's always a space before the final die roll. And true campaign managers also have no problem retconning whenever someone is robbed of the chance to interrupt before the resolution. Curb side chatter. Side chatter is bad for two reasons. First, because everyone at the table deserves everyone else's attention. That's how meetings work. And second, because they're distracting. They make it hard to pay attention to the actual friggin' meeting. Background chatter does not help me hear what's happening at my table. And if you're doing voice over internet meetings, side chatter makes all communication impossible. Side chatter here means two things. First, it refers to participants having their own little private conversation during the meeting, and you must quash that shit immediately. Even if the two participants are out of the action, and even if they're discussing something totally relevant and in character, even if the two players' characters were left behind at the inn and they're planning their move, don't let that shit happen, but do let them talk on camera as soon as you can cut to them. Second, side chatter refers to those moments when some participant's quip or remark or reminiscence draws everyone into an unrelated conversation and away from the meeting's intended purpose. You've got to curb that shit too. I ain't saying stomp on every single jokey remark, but when it goes from quip to joke contest, or when it turns into a conversation, or when all the little quips are getting in the way of your game's mood and tone, you need to stop that. Politely, but firmly. For the two-person side chatter, it often takes little more than a glance their way and an admonishment like, "Guys." But you can say something like, "Hey, can you put that on hold until you're on camera? I promise I'll cut to you in a moment," to reassure the participants they'll get a chance to play their scene. for table distractions, laugh politely, and then say, okay, let's get back on track. Of course, self-discipline is super important here. Meeting hosts and game masters can be the absolute worst for distracting quips and asides. Trust me, because I am definitely the worst culprit at my own table. And now a sidebar, which I call don't force participation. People keep asking me how they can force their quieter, shyer players to participate actively in their games. And I always say the same thing. You can't and you shouldn't. Some people are just like that, and they're perfectly happy being so. The best thing you can do for them, the only thing you can do, is make sure they've got opportunities to participate by checking in with them and by putting the kibosh on interruptions and conflicts. But don't assume something's wrong if they don't take the opportunities. But also, don't stop checking in with Wallflowers. Over time, checking in helps draw quieter, shyer players out of their shells. And while some might complain you're making Wallflowers uncomfortable by checking in with them, I remind them that tabletop role-playing games are social hobbies. If we were playing basketball and some dumbass said, "Hey, please don't pass me the ball, I'm not comfortable with basketballs," I'd tell them to go home. Same fucking thing. And now back to the article. There's a typo in the heading, so fixed. Show no tolerance for conflict. When you gather people, disagreements are going to happen. It's fine. It's normal. And if you can't handle that shit, you can't do social things. That's how it be. But as a meeting host, your job is to keep disagreement from turning into actual, serious, outright conflict. Even when someone's disagreeing with you. Especially when someone disagrees with you. If someone voices contention with you or anyone else, hear it out and make a call. And that's not just in-game rules. And that's not just for game rules shit. Yeah. If someone voices contention with you or anyone else, hear it out and make a call. And that's not just for game rules shit. When you're the host, you're the arbiter of all disagreements. Once the point's raised, heard, responded to, and called on, it's over. The meeting ain't the place for any further discussion. Ever. So if a participant thinks more discussion is needed, invite them to talk to you outside the meeting. Even if you ain't the person they were originally arguing with, it's your conflict now. They can speak to you after the meeting. If you can't stop the conflict from escalating, stop the meeting. Pull the conflict havers aside and make it clear this ain't the time and place for the conflict. Give everyone, yourself included, 5 minutes to cool off and then restart the meeting. Do not try to resolve the conflict as a sidebar during this pause. This is meeting time. Conflict resolution happens after meeting time, not during it. You're not pausing the meeting to solve the problem. You're pausing the meeting so everyone can move past the problem. The end. Is this shit hard? Yep. Welcome to campaign management. I promise I will teach you some conflict resolution skills before the course's final exam. Break every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, stop for 5 to 10 minutes. Just do it. And now the final chunk of tips, which I call wrapping up. Wrapping up. Now you know how to plan a meeting and how to start it and how to keep it going. But do you know how to end it? Because the ending's an extremely important part of every meeting, and one most mere campaign supervisors overlook, which is why it's something you absolutely should put on your agenda. Don't skip the ending. Review and thank you. Start the end of every meeting by thanking your participants for, you know, participating. Even if they didn't, even if they sucked at it. Partly, it's polite, but partly it's lubricant. Just like a standard call to order helps you start a meeting, a standard thanks for coming helps you transition from host mode to cleanup mode. After your transition, provide a quick summary of what you accomplished. Remember that goal you set? List what you did to accomplish that goal. If you agreed on a schedule, review the schedule. If you set some clubhouse rules, run through them quick. If you made characters, say, "And now we have our party. Adam is Ardrick, the fighter. Beth is Beryllia, the wizard," and so on. And if you ran a game session, it's good practice to end every game session with a mini review of the session's action. If you're doing experience and advancement the smart way, you've got an excellent framework for your after-session mini review. The point here is to remind everyone at the end of every meeting what you actually accomplished. The call to action. Finally, finish the end of every meeting with a call to action. What's that? Basically, it's you telling your participants what to do now, or what to do next, or what they're responsible for, firmly and unambiguously and precisely. Every meeting you host, no matter the purpose, must end with a clear call to action. Do the players have to complete their character sheets? Tell them so, and remind them how to submit them, and give them a due date. Do the players have to watch their email boxes for a campaign pitch? Tell them so, and tell them when to expect it. Do the players have to send you a note about what their characters are doing in their downtime? Tell them so, and tell them how to send that note, and when it's due. Do the players just have to show up on time for the next game or the first game? Tell them when it is and when they're to waddle through the door and what they should bring with them. Every damned time. Thank you. So that's it. That's Angry's... Let me quickly count this shit up. 18? Wow. That's Angry's 18 tips and tricks to host meetings like a true campaign manager. That's a lot of tips. So maybe a recap is in order. Plan your meetings on paper. Write shit down. Set a goal for every meeting and build an agenda. Establish firm start times and arrival times for your meetings and actually enforce them. Call your meetings to order and immediately tell everyone why they're there, even when everyone already knows. During the meeting, give everyone your undivided attention and make frequent eye contact with all participants. Address participants by name, even when asking general questions, and when you need responses or actions, use clear, imperative sentences and speak in an active voice. Check in with inactive participants and folks whose attention seems to be waning by addressing them by name. Cover what you're doing by asking for responses to general questions. Don't interrupt people. Don't let people interrupt each other. Squash side chatter. Be polite, but be firm. Don't get impatient. Never allow a disagreement to turn into a conflict. If a conflict arises, put it aside and promise to resolve it later. Give everyone a break every 2 hours. Recap the meeting at the end and remind everyone what to do next with a firm call to action. That's a lot to implement all at once, though. So, while you're watching this space for my next lesson, I want you to focus on 3 things. First, from now on, set an agenda for every meeting and game you run. Second, deliberately practice that eye contact thing. Get used to making eye contact with your participants throughout every meeting. Third, practice tacking names at the end of all your general questions. And with that, I'm done. Get the hell out of my classroom.